Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
This is your wake up call.
Wake up, wake up, wake up. This is your Cup of Joe After Hours podcast. And I'm your host, Joe. We're back. This is a twofer. I said that I was going to only do one, but I decided to go ahead and drop this one as well. Do me a favor, wherever you listen to your podcast, please subscribe. If you're checking this out on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe to my YouTube. Thank you very kindly. Wherever your iHeartRadio podcast, Apple Podcasts, iPodcasts, wherever, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, go ahead, click that subscribe button. We are back again. Some of my thoughts, you know, as they're cleaning up, I don't have much time, probably 15 to 20 minutes, maybe even be 10 because this is a twofer, so it's not going to be as long. You know, I was thinking about something. Thinking about something. You know, if you're a person of faith, you don't even have to be a person of faith. You know, some people believe in karma, that get back, and that person of faith, God gonna take care of my enemies, people that do me wrong. Have a question for you. Your enemies are in God's hand, and he asks you, what do you want me to do with them? I just wanted that to sit there, simmer for a minute. So your enemies are in God's hand. What do you want him to do? What do you want him to do? He asks you, okay, what do you want me to do? Now, your response will tell where your heart is. Because I'm cutting across the path in this. We're just thinking out loud. Because if your response is, God, I want, let's say your response is, God, I want to kill him. I want you to kill him. Or, God, I want you to take their family out of you. God, I don't want you to kill him, but I just hurt him a little bit. Give him diarrhea or something. You know, give him gas or something like that. Just a little bit. So they'll know not to mess with Joseph more, not to mess with Jacob, not to mess with. If your heart is right there, then I want to submit to you that maybe, yes, maybe you need a heart check. And I know you've been done wrong, and I know they did you wrong. And you know, you deserve that, because I know you're saying, okay, if you're a man of faith, then you know the Bible says that vengeance is God's, is his. That means it's not yours. So that means maybe your heart, because watch this. Have you considered this? Now who's the villain? Now who's the bad guy? They did you wrong and you weren't wrong. Well, what, an eye for an eye? Yeah, but in this same Bible that you're probably, you know, thinking about, it says there's a greater way, and that's love. Love your enemies. Pray for those who spitefully use you, who persecute you. Didn't say get them back. So if your answer is, God, deal with my enemies. You got them, God. Deal with them. You know that you may just have turned into a villain. And sometimes, man, I get it. I understand, because I can hear you through the phone or through the computer. There are some people that have are justifiably, they need to be punished. They need to, because they've done some horrendous things. And I'm going to tell you this, because there are a couple of people that I've had to walk through. I mean, courses of, instances, I'm sorry, of incest and rape and, I don't say incest, you know, of rape and molestation. I use the wrong terms there, sorry. And I'm gonna tell when I tell you that they helped me because they forgave and they moved on with life and they hugged the people that hurt them. And this is just me. These people deserved the punishment. Now, these folk are in jail. They deserve death in my, that's just me. That's me. With that, I mean, I'm sorry. But when you talk to the ones that they hurt, and their reasoning was, I had to do it for me. If I didn't do it for me, I would have killed myself. Because to try to kill them, I would have lost my mind. I lost my mind. I had to do it to get my peace back. And here I am because somebody lied on me. Here I am because somebody said something bad about me. Here some of you all are because they put out rumors about you. But you're here. They didn't harm you. They didn't touch your family. They cussed you. They cursed you out. Or something to that effect. And you want God to kill them over that. And you want God to hurt them over that. And you want God to take them out because of that. And you want God to strike them with diarrhea because of that. And my friend, I want to tell you that then you turn into an enemy. You turn into a villain. You've allowed now that to make you the bad guy, the bad girl. And if all of us would be honest, we have been the villain in someone else's story. We've been the villain. We have been the one that have done wrong. We have been the one that needed mercy, that needed grace, that needed forgiveness. So we should be the ones to show forgiveness, man, because let me tell you why I thought about it. There are a lot of angry people, at least on my timeline, when I go to Facebook, Twitter, and some of these people I know that are sitting with unforgiveness, that are sitting and they're not healed. They're not healed. They're not. And I'm going to tell you what you do. You take this unhealed perspective and you treat every relationship as if that person is going to hurt you like the last person. Yeah, man, I've had friends, had, not because of my undoing, that have stopped talking to me, that, you know, and I know it's because of the hurt that they've had prior. And I'm like, man, we supposed to be boys. We supposed to be this. We supposed to be that. But I know that in their mind, they think that I'm going to use them like the last person. And so any little thing that may happen, they shut off. They shut down. They shut me out. And I'm thinking, and I have to have great pause and sit back and say, man, that hurt. And I'm going to tell you, that person, those people probably didn't even realize they hurt me. You hurt me by shutting me out because, hey, I was cool with you. I just wanted the friendship. And you know, because we unfriend on Facebook, that's how we show it. And I'm looking like, I'm unfriended. They've changed their number and haven't given it to me. Like, wow. You know, and it makes you bitter because, man, it makes you say, let me go ahead and tally up the stuff that I've done for them. God, can I get, you know, I told you I'm a man of faith. God, can I get my prayers back? And then here you are. Wait a minute, I'm turning into a person of unforgiveness. See, that junk spreads, man. That junk spreads. It spreads. You treat someone, treats you wrong. Then you treat the other person wrong because you don't want to be done wrong. You do it inadvertently. And now you make more enemies than you have friends. Wow. Let's just let that sit there, man. And because you move from an unhealed perspective. You move from a place that I built up walls. And nobody's going to do me wrong anymore. And so this hurt you is now the perspective. Man, and I'm going to tell you, man, y'all going to hate when I say this. I gotta watch out. Let me say it like this. Sometimes we can toggle between victimhood and villainy. I'm not victim shaming because there are some people that are that really have been victimized and they need healness and they need wholeness. We all do sometimes. But sometimes we can unjustly live in victimhood when we're kind of villains because we're unhealed in a place where we should be healed. And we treat everybody, oh gosh, like they owe us for the hurt that we went through. I think I told you in one podcast that I put up some borders with my now wife, who was my girlfriend, because, you know, a girl hurt me. And I was not that attractive in high school. It's high school. We all look awkward. We really do. When I look back at all the pictures of my classmates, it was like, man, we looked rough. But anyway, and so those unhealed places I had to heal to say, man, look, you all right. You got a good thing here. Don't mess it up. And don't become a villain trying to live in victimhood unjustly. Because that's not fair to real victims. I'm going to say that again. It's not fair to real victims for you to use that to shield and guard yourself and move on. And I'm about to wrap this up. I hear you. I'm about to wrap it up. But let me go to these stories. Let me start with me, and then I'm gonna go to a story in the Bible, in the Christian Bible, right? Let me tell you. So, you know, me and my dad were estranged. He was not in my life until I turned about 16. My mom tried to make it work with him. They never really made it work, but they tried to make it work with him, and so we were in the house and chilling. I think I was 18. I was a senior in high school. And I don't know what happened. Yes, I do know what happened. He had this bad habit because he wasn't used to with kids in the house. He brought food that was his. And we grew up without because of him, you know. So let me sidebar. Listen, my dad, I love my dad. I love him. He's moved on. He's going to be, he's passed. We had a great relationship when he died. I love him, but I'm gonna tell a little bit of truth. He wasn't a perfect man like all of us, and so he wasn't here. And so he had this thing. He wasn't used to kids. He had it, but his food was his food. So he bringing in food, man. We ain't had his food. You're bringing in desserts, and my grandmother, rest in peace to my grandmother as well, would make this. Caramel cake. I've only tasted one person that could make a caramel cake like she did. And my dad could make it too. And they not here. I think my aunt can. I haven't tasted it. My aunt, but I have to see. I gotta see and test it out. If you listen, aunt, I need some caramel cake. I haven't had yours. But man, anyway, this I'm gonna tell you. Let me just talk about this cake for a minute. Let me just sidebar. So the difference with hers is when you cut, the caramel was not gooey. It was like a shell. So you cut it and the cake was so soft, but the caramel was like a shell and you kind of cut through it almost like a hard candy. Not real hard, but just hard enough where you could, you know, could feel like that, but you could slice through it. And you put that hardness with that cake in your mouth. Oh my God. All right, moving on. And so we ate, I mean, we almost ate it down. My brother's 6-something. I'm the 5'8", I'm short. And you know, we big boys. I had muscles and going on back then. He did too. And so, you know, moving on, we had a fight. He was going off on us. And all of these unresolved feelings of him missing birthdays, him missing Christmas, and him saying that he was going to take me back to Chicago with him for the summer, or take us back, and we were going to get to spend some time, and I ain't get to, you know, all that came up. And I went off on him, man. I think I shared this story somewhere else. So I'm not going to go too much into what I said. But, I mean, I brought tears to his eyes. Yes, I did. I shared this for the Father's Day episode. But, man, you know, one of the things I did say was, man, I prayed to God. This is what brought tears to his eyes. You know, you start to remember stuff. I pray to God that he take you out. Man, that's what I told him. I said, you a waste of space. You are no good. And man, he just walked away. And I walked behind him because I was trying to fight him. I was still like 185 and he was 2-something, but his muscles were bigger than mine. He would have killed me. But man, I was behind him. So much so that my brother, like, what was one of those ones, like, he the one that he ready to fight. He going to be ready to fight. Anything go down, he is. I'm the peace-loving guy. But man, whew, he ready to throw down. And I scared him. He said, whoa, hey, come on back. Hey, you know, they call me by my middle name. I'm not going to give y'all my middle name. You know, Joe, hey, man, calm down. And man, I was just going after him. And I remember I cried. Long story short, man, you know, I hated him. The hate rose and the hate was right there. We never had the same. It took like a year. I mean, year that I would walk by, wouldn't talk to him, wouldn't speak, you know. He still would give me his car to roll around in. I'd take the man's car, snatch the keys out of his hand. He wouldn't do anything. Stuff like that, man. You know, and come back and throw him back in his face when I get back home. Man, that was terrible, y'all. I became a villain. Do y'all hear that? I moved from being a victim because I didn't have my dad in my life to becoming the villain. I made his life a living hell when I could. What they say, I was hell when I was well. But man, let me tell you. And so I got to college, and this is why I am a man of faith. This is why I believe in God. I believe in the Most High. I believe in my Creator, man, because I was at a service, at a Christian lock-in service that they had for young people. And this guy was telling a story about his dad, and he came and shared that whole story with me. He might not even remember it. Lorenzo January, if you're listening, you saved my life, bro. I don't know if you remember, but I mean, he shared that whole, he came and we call it prophesy, but he shared and prophesied and spoke what God was telling him to me, word for word. As Soulja Boy say, bar for bar. He said, and I did nothing but cried. Man, I let out everything. It was such a loud, long, I don't remember what happened when I got off that floor. All I remember is I felt free. All I remember is I felt love for my dad again. All I remember is I felt so much remorse that I had to get back home from college to see him and apologize to him. And he told me, man, I need to apologize to you. I said, no. I said, okay, but I really want to apologize to you. I told him, man, I love you. And all those things I said to you, I shouldn't have said. I'm so sorry. And, you know, I'm replaying it back in my head. he's gone now, and it's still coming back up. You know, I'm a man. I ain't gonna cry. I gotta keep it G. But I get somebody cutting onions and my eyes sweating. But that I became a villain in that story. But here's the one that I'm gonna tell you. Well, three. It's another one about me. Then I'm gonna go to the Bible. There was a friend of a family or whatever. Actually, it's like long distant family. But I knew the guy. And man, one thing you know about me is first, I'm a peace loving guy. Even when I was in my teens, I think I got in one or two fights. That's about it. You know, I would be the one I ignore a lot because, you know, I think rationally, listen, something could happen. And I'm a black man. It's been going on for a long time. I could do something and I could end up in jail. And Lord knows, I do not want to be in jail. And that's how I thought, like, I ain't going to jail now. So I try to stay out of fights because they send you to jail for fights. They did. And so I'm a peaceful guy, man. But when it comes to my family, especially my wife and my kids, you know, the gloves are off. I see red. And you know, praise God, you know, I don't have to deal with that. But this one particular time I did. A guy went off, said something about my family, but said something about the kids, man. Said something about wife, my kids, all that stuff. And, you know, I called him. And you know, there were threats made to me, threats made back to him. And my thing was, I try to make sure everything, because I'm a short guy, small guy, but, you know, I'm very resourceful. I'll put it that way. But I was like, either both of us going to end up in jail or both of us going to end up dead. That was my thing, because it was a lot of stuff said about my family. And, you know, I saw red. And so we'd already set it up. I said, hey, man, come this way. You come this way. I'm good. But when I see you, you know, it's on sight. And you think that I'm just as peaceful, whatever. You know, in my mind, I'd already planned for the funeral. Man, I'm just being honest with you. I had. So much so, you know, my wife and my kids, my wife was like, hey, you need to calm that down. I understand you're mad and you trying to take up for me and this and that and the other. And, you know, let me cut across the path. I still, in my mind, I told her, yeah. And I didn't say anything, but in my mind, I was like, nah. I mean, it's still going to go the way I want it to go. If I got to be out here and he's still here, he's going to know. He's going to be maimed enough to know that Joseph was here. And that was my thinking. The next time we meet, something's going to happen. That was my thinking. And I know she knew because, places that she knew that I would see this person, she kept back. She wouldn't even go. I don't feel like going. I don't want to go to my hometown this time. And I knew what she was doing. And I was like, no, we can go. No, something would always happen. And, you know, I remember I was praying because it was like this. Look, violence, I had violence, but watch this, y'all. Forgiveness is what wouldn't let me go. I'm the one that wouldn't let violence go. Forgiveness had to kind of take it out, but it was forgiveness that kept bugging me to say, you need to pray, you need to talk. And so being a man of faith, and, you know, this is how it works with me and God. You know, God talked to me like I'm talking to you all. And he said this, hey, he's in my hands. What you want me to do with him? And I sat there with that for a moment because I was scared. I was like, this is a test. If I tell him to kill him, God gonna kill me too. That's how I felt. And I just sat with it. But I could hear, I kept hearing, all right, he's in my hands. You know, I take it. What do you want me to do? And it was almost like a conversation piece. You know, God saying, now, you know, I wasn't going to do that if you even asked. But I asked you because I knew you were going to do the right thing. Because there was something about you still hearing my voice, something about you feeling that forgiveness within you to let that violence go. And, you know, I yielded to the voice of God because he was like, you need to let it go. You need to let it go. Because, and he just kept showing me, this ain't even about the family. It's about your ego. It's about your male machismo. It's about you trying to show you that you tough. You know, let people know you hard, this and that. And, you know, I had to admit, yeah. So what I did was try to reach out to the guy. And I think I text him. I text him, and then I sent him something on one of the social media. And I apologize, man. I apologize even for stuff that he didn't know. The man I sought out to do X, Y, Z, this and that and the other. And I apologize. That's not me. You deserve all the right to be mad at me. You deserve all the right to cuss me out because I shouldn't have called to you. Because I called him because of what he said. Now, I think I deserve to. But, you know, if you're listening, hey, I ain't saying no names, so we good. But man, I apologize to him. And when I saw him, I apologize, or I tried to, you know, because guess what? He still didn't change the way he act. He still said little stuff here and there. But my heart was free, and I ignored it and moved on because of that one thing God saying, okay. How you want me to deal with you? How you want me to deal with this? And I knew that was a test. Oh, that was a trick right there. Because if my heart said that, then I became a villain. I became the enemy. And God was showing me that. Last thing, and I'm going to get out of here.
Hey, bro, it's time to go home.
Yeah, I hear you. Let me say this one more thing, and I'll get out. Can I do that? Thank you. So the story of Joseph, man, is an interesting story in the Bible. If you want to find it, it's somewhere in Genesis 38, somewhere around there. I'm probably wrong. Sorry. I thought it's in the 30s or right early 40s. Chapter 38 or 40, 43, somewhere around there. I could be way off. But anyway, man, Joseph. So Joseph is an awesome story about dealing with enemies. It was his own brothers, man. He had told his brother something about, you know, his dream. And watch this. This is from the other podcast. His brothers thought that he was such a much that he was so good that they set out to kill him. So instead of killing him, they threw him in a pit. Took his coat to his daddy, said, man, something happened to Joseph. He died. Dad is thinking his son is gone. Well, they took him out and sold him, took him out of the pit, sold him into slavery. And just moving on, time passed. Joseph goes from the pit. He goes to this guy to work for this guy named Potiphar, Potiphar's house, where the wife tried to make a pass at him. He denied the pass of the wife because Joseph is just a good person. Yep, going back to... he's such a good person, but guess what happened? Wife lied on him. Potiphar kicked him out, got him put in jail. He's in prison, and he gets favor in prison. And long story short, he ends up becoming number two to the Pharaoh at that time. And he was like the man next to the man. Well, a famine hits, and his brothers, his family, has to now come to get food and things because a famine hit their land. And Joseph recognizes them But he doesn't, but they don't recognize him. He pulls them in a room by themselves. Just looking at his brothers, talking to him. They didn't even recognize him. And here he is, hugging his brothers, making sure they're taken care of, hugging his dad. These same people that threw him in a pit, sold him to slavery. These are his blood brothers. And man, you know what his thing was? When they're apologizing and all that, man, don't worry about it. What you meant for evil, God actually turned it around for my good. You meant to do the bad thing, but God turned that thing into a good thing. And this is what I'm telling you. If you stay in that place of unforgiveness, if you stay in that place where you're ready for God to deal with your enemies, you're going to miss out on being the number two, the best. You're going to miss out on all of the success. Man, if he would have stayed in that place of hating his brothers, he would not have been in a place to save his brothers. Because that was a test in himself. That was an ultimate. All right, Joseph, you got them in your hands now. What do you want to do with them? How do you want to deal with them? How are you going to deal with your enemies? Because I do believe that you're going to be successful, or you're going to be put in a place where you're going to have, where you can do good or you can do bad to your enemies. So how are you going to deal with them? All right, y'all, I got to go. This is Joe, and this has been the Cup of Joe After Hours podcast, and I will see you all later.